Welcome to another episode of Neural Pathways, where your neuroscience degree can take you, presented by Healthy Brains, Healthy Lives at McGill University. I'm your host, Rana Ghafouri, and I'm here to help you create the synapse from your research to real life. Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. Today, I'm talking to Emily Ann Apala. Emily graduated from McGill in 2016 after completing a master's in neuroscience, and she's now a substance use counselor and case manager at the Jean Tweed Center. Emily, thank you so much for joining us today.
Can you give me a brief description of the Jean Tweed Center and what your role there with them is?
So the Jean Tweed Center is a multi-service organization that provides support to women and their families who are having either mental health or substance use or gambling concerns. And they work sort of all throughout Toronto and the GTA. And I work in the supportive housing department. So what we do there is we provide counseling and case management to women who were at one point homeless. We house them. And then as long as they're living in our housing, which is permanent, I am their counselor, case manager, as well as my other colleague. They have their own caseloads.
Wow, that's really
good. Yeah. It's pretty cool, yeah.
Those kind of resources are so important.
Yeah, definitely.
What is a typical day at work like for you?
Well, what I really like about my job is that every day is really different. Mm-hmm. No 2 days really look alike because it really depends on the women that I'm supporting and sort of what their needs are. Sort of our mandate, the way that we kind of approach it is to meet women where they're at. So whatever these women need help with, whatever they specifically say that they have particular goals to achieve, that's what I'm there to support them with. For some women, that might be like doing actually counseling or, you know, some kind of narrative therapy or whatever it may be. Whereas for other women, it may be more case management where we're looking into getting them an ID or, you know, accompanying to doctor's appointments, things like that, going to court, whatever they need, really.
And it's a drop-in service or you have specific people assigned to you that you
work
with regularly?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a number of women that are in our program and we we support the women that are in our particular caseloads. So it's about like 10 or 11 women that I connect with, you know, at varying levels of frequency.
And how did you find this opportunity? Did you always see yourself getting into something like this?
I didn't at all, no. My original plan was to go into research, really. I was, you know, I was going to stay in research. I was going to stay in academia. And, you know, throughout the process of my graduate studies, I realized that wasn't really for me. But at the same time, I was volunteering at the Sexual Assault Center at SACOMS at McGill. And I just had such a fantastic time working with those folks. And I just found the work to be really fulfilling and really, it really engaged me and it sort of lit me up in a way that I had never experienced before. So yeah, I definitely didn't plan on going this direction. It sort of just happened that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why extracurriculars are so important, I guess, right? Absolutely. For figuring out what you want to do. Exactly. What other extracurriculars were you involved in during your graduate studies?
I did a lot of stuff. I like to stay involved and try lots of new things. I was involved in GSAN, the Graduate Student Association of Neuroscience. I was the VP of Social Affairs. So that was fun too. I got to like practice some skills there too of like management and sort of coordinating and event coordination, which is really an important skill, I think. I
did. And just like working with other people too.
Exactly. Learning from like other people's interests as well.
And how do you think the skills you gained both in your research and in your extracurriculars have helped you in your career?
I think that my research has been useful to me. So my research when I was in neuroscience was in mother rats. I was studying moms and I was studying the way that stress can affect them in the postpartum period after they give birth. And, you know, a lot of the women that I work with now are also parenting, you know, and they also have different levels of stress and trauma in their histories and it affects them in different ways. And I think an understanding of, you know, the HPA axis and the way in which sort of stress affects the brain and puts the brain in certain positions is really useful, I think, for this job. I find myself often thinking of myself as almost like a practical neuroscientist in a sense. Because in reality, these women that I'm working with, like the interventions that I use with them in counseling and things like that, they're really just extensions of what I know about the brain and how it works.
So what's your favorite part about your job, would you say?
My favorite part about my job has got to be the relationship building. I think that's something that I particularly like, that I probably learned that I like while at GSAN actually, but also a little bit in my work at SACOMS. But I just like building relationships with these women and getting to know them and getting to be sort of a part of their lives in a kind of delicate, special kind of way. Right. It's a really interesting relationship.
And you get to make a difference in people's lives, and little things have a bigger impact than you.
Yeah, for sure. I think the one thing that I've learned since starting this is that you have to celebrate your small successes. You have to, like, every time something good happens, you really gotta be mindful of it and keep it with you and you know, keep it in your back pocket for later when you're having a more rough day.
Yeah. How did you go about finding this job? You mentioned that you volunteered with SACOMS during your graduate studies, but what steps did you take to get into a counseling role like this?
Yeah, so that's actually sort of tougher. And I don't think it's an easy thing. It's an easy transition to do, quite honestly. It was all about networking, quite honestly. I didn't jump straight from, you know, neuroscience right into counseling. I did a lot of stuff in between. For about 6 months, I did serving. I was just working in a restaurant. For another year, I did fundraising. I was working in, like, face-to-face fundraising on the street, door-to-door, getting people to sign up to do monthly donations to things like the UNHCR and Amnesty International and Oxfam. So, you know, it wasn't such a smooth sort of transition that appears. And all of those jobs obviously taught me different things. I personally think it's a really good idea to sort of try lots of different things, try different jobs when you're sort of starting out in your career. Even if it isn't necessarily what you think you're going to be doing forever, I think you learn something new in each of them. I don't think that I would be as good of a counselor as I am now if I hadn't had those experiences in service and in fundraising. But the fundraising is actually how I got into this. So because I had that fundraising experience, I was able to get a volunteer position at Jean Tweed in the fundraising arm. And once I started getting connected to the people at Jean Tweed, I had some meetings with some folks. I sort of introduced myself around to lots of different people. And when a position became available, I applied. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of networking for sure.
Networking and volunteering and things that interest you.
Exactly. I think, like, while volunteering can be like a frustrating exercise when you're looking for a job, especially when you there's going to be a lot of setbacks. It's just a part of the journey. Volunteering, I think, is one of those things that can absolutely give you a leg up. Yeah. And also it's an opportunity to test things out, like see if you even like it. Like, I could have volunteered there and found that I hated it. And then and I would know that and I wouldn't have to go through all the hassle, right?
No, for sure. So if a current neuroscience graduate student is interested into getting into a counseling position, what are some tips or suggestions that you would give them during their graduate studies?
That's a really good question. I'd say a big one would be try lots of different things. So, while you're still in your studies, definitely find some extracurriculars, whatever interests you really. But yeah, if you can find like an organization that's doing like some kind of support work on phone lines is a really great way to get into it. You know, like SACOMS is a really fantastic organization. They provide, about 50 hours of training. And it's, you know, in the anti-oppressive sort of things and also in actually how to provide support over the phone to somebody. That taught me so much. I learned so much from them. So SACOMS would be a really great place to start. But there's so many resources out there that are looking for volunteers. You know, a lot of people in the world need help, need support. And
for sure.
There's not enough people out there to support them. So I think volunteering somewhere really is your best bet to sort of break your way into it. And also to test out to see if it's something that you like, because it isn't for everybody. It is a really hard job, and it requires a lot of resilience to do.
Oh, I can imagine. It must be really tough some days.
Yeah, definitely. Of course. But it's very rewarding as
also
well.
Rewarding, yeah.
Yeah.
So finally, what is the number one piece of advice that you would give yourself when you were a graduate student, that is?
Talking to a young Emily? I would probably say, there is no shame in quitting. And quitting may not be the right word. Maybe we don't want to frame it as quitting. But it's okay if you don't want to continue in academia. I think, for me at least, there was a lot of shame and a lot of feelings of, I couldn't cut it, or I couldn't make it in this, role. And it isn't necessarily about that. And it's okay to not want to do that afterwards. It's okay to finish your graduate studies and say, I don't want to stay in academia. I can do something else.
It's hard to remember sometimes.
It is. It's very hard to remember, especially because when you're in grad school, you're just surrounded by it, right? It feels very natural, very normal. So that it feels almost impossible to do something else, to do anything else. But if I've learned anything, graduate school provides you with so many, what's the word I'm looking for?
Transferable skills.
Thank you. Graduate school provides you with enormous transferable skills. You can, the work I did to sort of plan my experiments, the work I did to, liaise with other labs and, learn new techniques and all of these things, you'd be surprised how many transferable skills you get from that. And I know lots of people who are still in neuroscience or not, who think I didn't learn anything other than about neuroscience there. And it's not true. There's so many transferable skills.
Well, that's really reassuring to hear, I'm sure, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I have so many feelings about this because it's something that it was so difficult for me. It wasn't easy to do the job searching thing and to change careers. It's scary. It's really hard. It's really scary. Yeah. And I had so many setbacks. I had jobs that didn't necessarily treat me the way that I felt I should be treated. And I had, jobs taken away, there's so much in flux, and it's such a scary time that it feels so much easier to stay in sort of a safe space, being academia, if you're used to that, but there's a whole world out there with so many different kinds of jobs
that we don't even know about
exactly. I had no idea that I could do this as a job. I couldn't even conceive of myself ever doing this as a job, and now I get to do it. It's in about 10-ish days, it's going to be my 1-year anniversary at Jean Tweed.
Oh, congratulations!
And thank you. And I'm just so I feel so lucky to have found something that suits me, and it's hard to find at many points. I did not think I would find it. So, I guess I would say to people, stay strong, keep looking, and expect that there's going to be hardship. It's going to be difficult. Expect the difficulty, but know that the difficulty is going to make you stronger and make you better at the job that you end up in.
Thank you so much for your time today. It was really helpful, and you've given people a lot to think about, I'm sure.
Awesome.
If you wanted to learn more about Emily and careers in counseling, check out the Neural Pathways webpage for resources. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Neural Pathways, where your neuroscience degree can take you, presented by Healthy Brains, Healthy Lives. Don't forget to check out our website, mcgill.ca/hbhl, for links to previous episodes and resources, and follow HBHL on Twitter, @HBHLMcGill. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your platform of choice so you never miss a new episode. See you next time!